Hello. Hello. Lovely, lovely to see you. So lovely to see you in our building.
Hello.
I'm the Reverend of these parts. Is this your first time in
the
church?
Well, actually, no. I have
lovely,
been a
wonderful
of times
to meet you then. I suppose you haven't. Of course. Sorry, I'm forgetting everything. Here you go. Here's a little sheet just for us to get to know you a bit better.
Okay.
Fill out the forms here. You sign there, and there, and put your address there and your email there. We can keep in touch with you in this lovely little building we call the church. Oh, and if you'd like to take this one as well. It's a lovely little standing order form. You can fill it in there if you put your bank details there, and your sort code there. Well, just a little bit of financial gain for us to help the work we do here in the community.
Yeah? Right. Okay.
And seeing as you're new to our lovely little quirky family that we call the church, I've got a couple of sheets for you here, actually. Well, it's just a couple of rules and regulations we like to have here in the building. If you'd like to sign the forms 5, 6 and 32, that'd be wonderful just for us to keep a tabs on what you're doing. And also, seeing as you're new in the building, we've got a couple more sheets of the things there. If you'd like to have another book there. And seeing as you won't know the worship that well, I've got a book about the worship here for you here. That would be wonderful. Thinking of the worship, you'll know when to stand when the worship starts, because the worship leader will stand himself. But if he starts with his left foot first, do not stand, wait 30 seconds. If he does hand signals like this, do not stand then, wait until two songs later, then stand. If he stops with his foot and then sneezes, well, then just stay for the entire song. Thank you very much. I've got another book here, a little history of the church building. We have it all here. It's a quirky little thing, a pop quiz on Sunday, if you'd like to pop in. And seeing as you are a very new, fresh Christian, we've got a Bible for you as well, full of lovely little commentary bits. Signed little bits, pieces in there myself, so have fun looking for that commentary. Thinking of the worship music itself, I've got a couple of the songs of praise. You can learn the lyrics to the songs if you'd like that. And please do stay after the service for tea and refreshments. Oh, thinking of tea and refreshments, here is the combination code for the toilets, if you'd like to pop in afterwards.
That's just... Yeah, right, okay, so... I'm not sure when I'm going to have a chance to look at these, but actually, I might just take a seat.
Of course, you can sit anywhere you'd like in the entire building.
Okay, so I might sit over there. Is that okay?
Over there?
Yes. Is that a problem?
Well, it's just the wardens and the stewards usually sit there. You don't want to disrupt their thing, do you?
Okay.
They've got a thing, their own special thing going on there. Maybe it's best you don't sit there specifically.
Okay.
But anywhere else in the entire church building, feel free to sit down.
Okay, can I sit over there then?
Over there?
Yes. Is that a problem?
I mean, well, that's just where the band usually sit. You wouldn't want to disrupt their flow, would you?
You don't want
to be the problem with the worship music, would you?
No, and especially because I haven't learned the words.
Yes, exactly. I haven't learned the words, exactly.
Okay, so...
So anywhere in the entire church building, except for there and there.
Right, so... there?
There?
Yes. No?
It's just that, we tend to have a specific demographic in this church, quite an elderly population. They do enjoy to sit there, so you don't want to disrupt their flow, would you? Take their seats... Don't you upset any of them, would you?
No.
No, you wouldn't.
No,
you'd like in the church building, except for there, and there.
How about, it's getting quite heavy now. There.
Wonderful. There. Of course you can sit there. Feel free. Wonderful. And if you'd like, we can have tea and refreshments after the church service. Well done. Lovely. Lovely to meet you. Lovely to meet you.
So part two, then, of this series about our vision, our mission, all that stuff, our purpose. I just want to mention, we've got this slide up here, and there might be people who don't know what this is about. So I'll just take a moment to explain that. This is our 5C values. They all begin with C, you'll notice. And I've got a terrible memory, and I want to promise you there is no written test at the end about this. But I've got a little mnemonic I use that says that EBC is a caring, committed community celebrating and communicating effectively the love of God in Jesus Christ. Thank you very much. That's my little mnemonic. So that's what that's about. Just if you're new and you're wondering, because we haven't talked about that, that's what our five values as a church are. Now, just to give you a little recap, we talked about purpose last week. And if you missed out on that, you can catch up via our website. You can go on and listen to the talk or read the blog that I've put up about that. If you were here last week and heard that talk, the bruises are healing nicely from when I jumped into the door, so it's fine. But just to give you a little clarification, purpose and mission, people sometimes mix the two up. Can I just pop the first slide up? So purpose, It's what we talked about last week, is why God made us, what we put on this earth for. Mission is something different. Mission is a job that God gives us. And next one. So our purpose, we said last week, so just this is a sneak preview, spoiler alert, sorry folks if you didn't hear. So our purpose is to love God, love people, and grow together to become more like Jesus. That's purpose. That's what we're put here on earth for. But what about mission? What about mission? Well, I think this is really clear. When I hear mission statements from churches, I think, yeah, that doesn't sound quite like the mission that Jesus gave. Sometimes they're bang on. But let's have a look what Jesus did say about mission. So just go on to the next slide. So this is from Matthew's account of Jesus' life, kind of a biography, if you will, of Jesus' life. Matthew was one of Jesus' first disciples, one of the 12 disciples that Jesus had in his earthly ministry. And these actually are the very last words that Matthew records in that account of Jesus' life. Jesus has been crucified and resurrected, and he speaks to his disciples before returning to his heavenly Father. So if these are the last words that you're going to say to some people, you'd think they'd be pretty important, right? And these are the words that Jesus says to his disciples to make clear their mission, the job that he's giving them to do. So, Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. All authority by the Father. He's been given all authority. So in that authority, he is giving them authority to do what? Therefore, go and make disciples, followers of Jesus. Go and make disciples of all nations, not just where they are, which they've done before. Jesus has sent them out teaching before. But go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I just want to pick up on that sentence there, because our last series was Trinity. And sometimes people say, oh, well, Trinity, that doesn't say Trinity anywhere in the Bible. But Trinity is just a word that we use to sum up what Jesus did say and what is said elsewhere in the Bible about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Here it is, absolutely explicitly. Here is Jesus talking about the Trinity. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. Not just teach them the commands. Sometimes we read it that way. Teach them everything I've commanded you. No, teach them to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. How is he with them always to the end of the age? How is he with us? Through the Holy Spirit. So it bears reading again. I'm just going to read it through neat. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That you could not ask for it to be clearer what the mission of the church is. It boggles my mind sometimes when I see mission statements that don't somehow line up with this. It's really clear. The mission is go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. And you know, the disciples went and did that to some great effect. It was a great team. But God can add to his team whenever he wants to. He can choose to add you and me to his team if you're willing to accept that mission. You can be added to the team. And God added somebody to the existing team of disciples. Imagine, do you remember the Olympics in London, 2012? Anyone remember that? Team GB did fantastically well. And again in Rio, did fantastically well, 2016. Loads of gold medals. Great team, right? Yes. Are you alive out there? Great team. But what if the director of Team GB Athletics said, do you know what? We're missing something here. We're missing something in the sprints. So we're going to get Usain Bolt on the team. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be ace? But hang on, he's not British. He's Jamaican. He's on one of the other teams. But that's no problem for God. So what God did is he took a guy called Saul. Saul of Tarsus, who was going around, he was on the other team, he was going around rounding Christians up and having them put to death, and he was really zealous. He was fired up. He thought he was fired up for the work of God, for the mission of God, because he didn't believe in Jesus. The very antithesis of a disciple of Jesus. But God can do anything. So God said, he's good. I'm going to have him on my team. It's like in the transfer window. So Jesus appears to Saul of Tarsus, totally transforms his life, and Saul, now using the name Paul, interestingly, so that he could appeal more to his Greek and Roman audience, not just to the Jews, went out with all his skills and all his zeal and became a disciple, apostle to the Gentiles, the non-Jews. It was almost like he was saying, right, you take the Jews, I'll take the rest of the world. Super apostle Paul. And Paul wrote this in a letter that he wrote to the early church at Corinth. He said this, though I am free and belong to no one, I've made myself a slave to everyone, a servant free of charge to everyone. Why? To win as many as possible. He's a winner. He's like Usain. He's a winner. He wants to win as many as possible. Win what? Win people. Win people for Jesus. So, to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, that's the old law of Moses, I became like one under the law. Though I myself am not under the law. Why? So as to win those under the law. Next slide, please, Chris. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Though I'm not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, which supersedes the old law. So as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak. To win the weak, I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, that I may share in its blessings. We're going to come back in a couple of weeks' time to this sentence, I've become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. It's a sentence of two halves, I like to think. And we're focusing this time on by all possible means, save some people. By all possible means. In our church, we take this very much to heart. I've had to defend some of the things that we do as a church over the years. Bingo is a good example. We run a bingo club for pensioners at Crown Wood. Some people have thrown their hands up in horror. Bingo! Gambling! You're a church? Yeah. To those who play bingo, we have become like those who play bingo. It's just a little modern iteration of what Paul was talking about. By all possible means. What do you think he meant by the word all? I think he meant all. By all possible means, save some. So if you take that teaching of Jesus and Paul's example of putting it into practice, this is, again, I've got a terrible memory, so I distilled this into a sentence that I think sums up our mission. Reach people and make disciples. Not wait for them to come to church because they're very churchy anyway. Not expect them to know everything and just to come because we're great and God is awesome, which of course he is, whether or not we're great or not. Yes, amen. But reach out to people. Like we were reached out to once upon a time. So that's why we do all of the things that we do. Yes, we know that social action is a great thing to do because people need stuff, and so we do have storehouse. And yes, we know that people are homeless and they need a roof over their heads. But that's not the big issue. The issue is we're changing their forwarding address to heaven from somewhere else. That's the issue. And that's why Paul, by all possible means, got alongside people to understand them and that they could understand him. Well, I never went to a church that was quite like that. I'd kind of like to visit a church that Tom represented there. But when I was brought up in the Catholic Church as a boy. And we had a guy called Canon Murphy, now probably gone to glory, I imagine. Canon Murphy was about 6'4". and that was just across the shoulders. He was a huge man, and beetling brows. He looked like he could put the fear of God into you just by looking at you. He was an intimidating guy, and he had somebody. Well, I'll give you an example. We did communion, and at that time in the Catholic Church, you went up, you knelt down at the altar rail, you put your tongue out, because only the priest could touch the communion wafer, and he'd place it on your tongue. Then they changed the rules, and you could now cup your hands, and the priest would place the wafer in your hands. So I went up under the new rules as a schoolboy, midweek mass, put my hands out. And Canon Murphy towering over me, put out your tongue. But he had somebody working for him, Father Vincent. Father Vincent was kind of like the pastor to the church I went to. Father Vincent ran a youth club. He ran movie nights with all sorts of movies that you think, really? He let us have access to the Catholic social club so we could play snooker on full-size 12-foot slate tables, and a blind eye was turned if we went to the bar afterwards. He was down with the kid. He'd give you a lift in the rain if he spotted you on your way to church, on your way to school in the morning, and then, of course, you thought, well, I'm a bit late. I'll just walk slowly because Father Vincent will be along a moment. Yeah, he was onto it, but he never pulled you up on it. He was our friend. He understood what it was like to be a kid going to school and not really understanding how to do all the churchy type things that maybe Canon Murphy expected, by the wrath of God, expected you to do. Canon Murphy wasn't wrong. He was right. He knew better than we did how awesomely, untouchably holy God is and how desperately sinful we were and we are. He understood that very well. In fact, he knew about the value of life. If he didn't, I wouldn't be here today because my mum wouldn't have survived being born. She was desperately ill when she was born. The instruction was, just leave it. She won't last long. Canon Murphy insisted that she be kept warm and fed. So that was the love of God. That was the value of life, the sanctity of life. But Father Vincent, who had free rein from Canon Murphy, by the way, he knew how to make disciples. He knew how to relate to people. And I think he had more of the Paul's approach about him, maybe, than Canon Murphy. So I think that's all I've got for you today. I hope that's okay. Just that's the kind of church we want to be. That by all possible means, because folks, the stakes are so high. The stakes are so high. Eternity hangs in the balance. But we'll talk more about that in a couple of weeks. Phil.